The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 31, Text Number 22, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on October 2nd, 2009, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 3, Text Number 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shriyam Manu Charatim Tadartinascha Dvipada Patin Vibhudangsha Yatsvapurna Nabhajati Nija Britya Vargatantra Katamamun Udrishcha Jatpuman Kritagya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, He becomes dependent on His devotees. He does not care for the Goddess of Fortune, nor for the kings and demigods who are after the favors of the Goddess of Fortune, nor for the kings, and He does not care for the Goddess of Fortune, nor for the kings and demigods who are after the favor of the Goddess of Fortune. Where is that person who is actually grateful and will not worship the Personality of Godhead? Purport. Lakshmi, the Goddess of Fortune, is worshipped by all materialistic men, including big kings and demigods in heaven. Lakshmi, however, is always after the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though He does not require her service. Brahma Samhita says that the Lord is worshipped by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune, but the Supreme Lord does not require service from any of them, because if He so desires, He can produce millions of goddesses of fortune through His spiritual energy, the pleasure potency. And this very Personality of Godhead, out of His causeless mercy, becomes dependent on the devotees. How fortunate, then, is a devotee who is thus favored by the Personality of Godhead. What ungrateful devotee will not worship the Lord and enter into His devotional service? Actually, a devotee cannot forget his obligation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even for a single moment. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that both the Supreme Lord and His devotee are rasagya, full of transcendental humor. The mutual attachment between the Supreme Lord and His devotee is never to be considered material. It always exists as a transcendental fact. There are eight types of transcendental ecstasy known as bhav, anubhav, sthai bhav, and so on. And these are discussed in the Nectar Devotion. Those who are unaware of the position of the living entity in the Supreme Person Krishna think that the mutual attachment between this Lord and His devotees is a creation of the material energy. Factually, such attachment is natural both for the Supreme Lord and for the devotee, and it cannot be accepted as material.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Damsa Jeeva Sadaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, before we proceed any further, I can ask you all what sort of class you would like. If I speak strictly, this will be for going back to Godhead in this lifetime. And I give a more mellow, more mellow lecture. That will be after many lifetimes going back. It may be more pleasing to hear a mellow lecture.
Yeah.
You see, a heavy lecture, that may be a little unpleasant to hear sometimes. But you see, heavy lecture is for going back to God in this lifetime. Mellow lecture is, a few more lifetimes. But it is my duty, I am the servant of all you Vaishnavas, you see.
It
is my duty to please you. So you kindly, we will have a vote, and you, whether you want a heavy lecture or a mellow lecture. Back to God in this lifetime or a few more births in that? How many want the heavy lecture? How many want the mellow lecture?
I want 50-50.
You want 50-50?
Yeah.
Well, should I start off mellow and get heavy, or start off heavy and get mellow? She wants. But if she wants both, should I start off heavy and get mellow, or start off mellow and get heavy? What's better?
First easy and then heavy.
Ah, start off mellow and then get heavy.
What do you mean by saying strict and mellow?
Well, that you'll find out.
I'm asking because that anyway we must pass gradually through all the stages in this life or in another life.
Too. See, mellow means in like a needle. Goes very easy, goes in, you see. And heavy means out like a plow. So actually our preaching technique is, as Prabhupada said, in like a needle, out like a plow. So that is actually the proper method, that we start off very mellow, like everybody all relaxed and blissful and enlivened. Everybody's fully receptive and just drinking in the nectar,
visi, reiškia, pajaustų džiaugsmą ir
and then give the heavy medicine.
Pasinertų ir tada tą mediciną steikti.
So you've all authorized, except for one, everyone has authorized me to give heavy medicine.
Ir visi išskyrus vieną sutiko tą griežtą.
But I'm sure he is democratically minded and he'll accept.
Bet aš tikiuos, kad jis demokratiškas žmogus ir priims.
Because everyone else is wanting some heavy.
Nes kiti nori griežtesnės.
All right, so this is actually a very, very wonderful verse. I was looking over this and considering it. It's just an amazing verse, really. It completely defeats the Mayavadis. Because it emphasizes this personal relationship between Krishna and the devotee. In other words, Krishna consciousness is not some, you know, just some impersonal relationship you have with an institution. I mean, we do have a movement, you know, ISKCON. And sometimes it can seem rather impersonal. I mean, not always, but sometimes it seems that way. But behind the whole scene is actually Krishna. So the ultimate foundation of the whole process is a personal relationship between Krishna and the devotee. So what is the nature of that relationship? Prabhupada explains rasagya, full of transcendental humor. Humor is not used here in the sense of like a joke. It's like mellow or rasa or taste. In that sense, humor. Just imagine the closest friend that you have in the world, you see. It could be your spouse, it could be your parent, it could be a brother, a friend. Just imagine the closest, warmest relationship you have with somebody here in this world. Then whenever you're together with your friend, you just become so happy. If you're separated from some time from your friend and you come back again, it's like you got a new life. So then multiply that 1 million times. And that gives you some idea of what it is like, the relationship between Krishna and his devotee. There's so much ecstasy in that relationship between Krishna and his devotee. That it's subdivided into 8 different types of ecstasy, if you can imagine. Which sort of ecstasy is the devotee feeling now? Is it Bhav? Is it Anubhav? Is it Stai Bhav? Etc. I mean, just imagine 8 different types of ecstasy. I mean, you can never get bored. You can have this type of ecstasy, and then this type of ecstasy, and then that type of ecstasy, and a little of this one mixed with some of this one, and you can just imagine how much ecstasy there is in the relationship between Krishna and his devotee. So the real question for us aspiring devotees is this. How can I get some of that nectar? How can I get off the platform I'm on right now of struggling with my senses? In fact, Krishna describes it as a struggle in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, let's see, mamai vangcho jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana manashastani indriyani Prakritistani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. And they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So right now, we're not liberated yet. We're still conditioned. And that means we're struggling with our senses and our minds. So how do we get off the struggling platform and get to the platform of all these different types of ecstasy in relationship with the Supreme Lord? That is the gradual step-by-step process known as sadhana bhakti. Leading into raganuga bhakti, which takes one all the way to perfection. So, the real question is not, well, how can I instantly get the topmost perfection? That's not practical. Of course, it does sometimes happen. As in the case of Maharaj Kadvanga. So it can happen. But the general way is that one gradually progresses step by step by step by step. So how can we make sure that we are progressing steadily step by step? That's the important thing. Just as by taking those steps around Tulsi Devi and Tulsi Puja in the morning, Padai Padai, you see, we sing in the song, Padai Padai. With each step that one takes around Tulsi Devi and the circumambulation of Tulsi Devi, with each step you're destroying so much past sin. So that's why devotees like to take as many steps as possible, keep going around and around Tulsi Devi. The more parikrama, the more pop is destroyed, you see. So that does not only apply to Tulsi worship. It applies to all of our devotional activities. The more I can chant the holy names nicely, the more I can hear lectures on the science of bhakti, the more I engage in devotional service, the more that we can absorb ourselves in this process, the faster we advance to the perfectional stage. Just like somebody who wants to become rich, the more time they spend making money, the faster they become rich. This is one of the secrets of the ultra-wealthy. They don't sleep very much. They are passionate to make a lot of money, so they don't like to sleep. They conquer over the mode of ignorance by the mode of passion. They get up early in the morning, start making money again. So we should have a similar passion for something which is even more valuable than money. And that is bhakti. You see? Be passionate. I want more bhakti, more bhakti, more bhakti. So in this way, we develop a passion for bhakti. We want more of that bhakti shakti. See, more bhakti shakti, more bhakti shakti, more bhakti shakti. And every day we have that mood, you see. Then we will advance very quickly to this stage where we can actually taste these eight different types of ecstasy in Krishna's relationship. So what are we waiting for? Let's do it. Starting right now.
Pradėdami nuo dabar.
Let's do it.
Darykim.
So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Tik noriu paklausti, ar yra klausimų.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
In the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there is Krishna talking about austerities in different modes. And there it is said that austerity in the mode of ignorance, it causes pain for oneself and for others. And austerity in the mode of goodness is the only austerity that gives spiritual benefit. So I wanted to ask how to perform austerity, because so that it would give spiritual result. How correctly perform austerity.
Yeah. Prabhupada has already given us a very nice program that has sufficient austerities. Rising early in the morning is very austere for many of us. 4 o'clock in the morning, you see. I remember when I was preaching in Oklahoma, I used to get up, I had a little preaching center, and my next door neighbor, one morning he was up early when I was up doing my japa. He said, "What are you doing up at such an ungodly hour?" In English, in America, in American English, it's a saying, early in the morning considered ungodly.
See?
That's confirmed. Krishna says, Yanasha sarabhutanam toshang jagati samyami yasham jagati bhutani sadnasha pashatomune. What is that which is the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage, and the time of awakening for the sage is considered night for the materialistic people. So because we are materially conditioned, getting up early in the morning for us seems very austere, you see. There's an old picture in BTG, one of the early BTGs back in 1971. It was a wonderful article. It was called A Day in the Life of ISKCON Boston. And it showed how the day began. There was some brahmachari in his sleeping bag, getting up and going like... And there was a big kirtan surrounding him. All the devotees were having a kirtan to get him out of his sleeping bag, you see. So rising early, that is austerity. What if somebody is addicted to having girlfriends? You see, you become a brahmachari, that's a great austerity. Or if someone is married and they've been having sex without any restriction, now they have it only for procreation, that's an austerity. Someone who was eating anything and everything, now they're only allowed to take prasadam, that is an austerity. So Prabhupada has given us sufficient austerities. If we will execute them very nicely, then we will progress very steadily to the supreme perfectional stage. It's not that we have to add extra austerities necessarily. That I have to fast for 1 month. No, whatever austerities Prabhupada has given. If we follow those very nicely, then we will make very good progress. Does that answer your question, Prabhu?
Ar tai atsakom?
Aš norėčiau dar paklausti ne Vienas atsidavęs turi savo lygį skirtingą. Tai sakykime, čia neginčiamas faktas, kad reikia anksti keltis. Askezija ir labai gerai, bet mes galim matyti, kad kartais sveikata neleidžia. Arba, sakykime, Bakas pradeda per anksti atlikti askeziją griežtą. Ir jis pasidaro piktas, jis pradeda kelti savo kitiems. Sakykime, kokią nuotaiką pasidaro. Aš pats jutau tokią nuotaiką, kad aš anksčiau keldavusi ir, sakykime, man trūkdavo miego. Ir kažkas padalodų man lavėti, aš tiesiog net mane atranką drebėdavau iš pykčio. Štodėl jis galvoja. Tai kaip išlaikyti tą teisingą askezę ir teisingą nuotaiką?
I also mentioned the problem that to perform austerity, different devotees have different levels. And if a person too early starts to perform some austerity, then he becomes, for example, angry, and he also starts to make bad things for others, and so on. For example, when I was had some health problems and was trying to get up in a Mangalarita, and if some devotee didn't come, my even hands was shaking from anger that he didn't come. So how to perform austerity and at the same time keep the good mood, the good, how do you say, yeah.
If one has health problems, that's another thing.
Jeigu žmogus sutrikus sveikata, tai kitas dalykas.
Health sickness is also is a great sickness itself is a great austerity.
Nes jau pati liga, tai nieko papildomo jau yra didelė skėdė.
If one has a chronic disease, that is a very austere situation. And to deal with that disease in a Krishna conscious way, that is actually very purifying to the consciousness. But if one is, we can see the demoniac, they also perform austerity. Look at Hiranyakashipu. Austerity can make one very proud, that's a fact. So one has to see if one is developing pride and arrogance towards other Vaishnavas. I remember when I was a young brahmachari, I attended one Ratha Yatra festival. And I had one very nice sweet in my hand. I was getting ready to eat this very nice sweet. And another very, very austere brahmachari came up to me. He said, "Stop! That's a dhoti whitener." If you eat that sweet, you're going to fall down and become a grihastha. So I ate it anyway. And guess who got married? He did. I was a brahmachari, a staunch brahmachari for many, many years. But I took the sweet. So if one is one takes some artificial austerity, I will not eat any sweets. You see, I am the Paramahamsa Brahmachari. I don't take any sweets. These other Brahmacharis are all going to fall down because I saw him eat some halava the other day. You see, Rupa Goswami is very nicely described. Niyam Agraha. Niyam Agraha. So there's two meanings. There's Niyam. Agraha means one thing and Agraha means another thing. One means to be too attached to and the other means be too neglectful of. So Niyam refers to rules and regulations. So by the Sanskrit principle of sandhi or word combinations, the word Niyam, when Niyam is combined with Agraha and when Niyam is also combined with Agraha, it's the same, Niyam Agraha.
pagal sanskritą, kai šitie žodžiai susijungia, nors ir skirtingi, vis tiek gaunas tas pats žodis.
The niyam, it is niyama. Niyama agraha and niyama agraha. The two A's, the niyam, the short A, when a short A combines with a short A, it becomes a long A. And when the short A combines with a long A, it also becomes a long A.
Kai dvi trumpos A susijungia, sanskrito kalboje gaunas ilga A, arba kai susijungia ilga ir trumpa, irgi gaunas ilga.
So the term niyam agraha means to be either too attached to rules and regulations or too neglectful of rules and regulations.
Todėl niyam agraha žodis reiškia arba būti per daug prisirišus prie taisyklių reglų, arba visiškai jas atmesti.
The overly austere person that you are describing, he is too attached to rules and regulations.
Per daug, reiškia, asketiškas žmogus, apie kurį jūs ir kalbate, jis per daug.
He's not compassionate. He can't see time, place, and circumstance. That devotee is on the verge of falling down. And if someone is completely neglectful of rules and regulations, also. I don't have to follow any rules, Prabhu. I'm Krishna conscious. I can do whatever I want.
You see?
He's also on the verge of falling down. So to be too austere or not austere enough, either one can cause fall down. So according to one's own position, there has to be the proper balance. What is the proper balance for one person may not be a proper balance for another person. As Prabhupada quotes, one man's food is another man's poison. So therefore we have our spiritual master. He can give us customized instruction just for our particular situation. So actually the only austerity a disciple needs is to be surrendered to his spiritual master. And what about when the spiritual master is not there? Srila Prabhupada explained how the temple authorities, the GBC, the temple president, they are representatives of the spiritual master. And we can also take guidance from other senior devotees like Siksha Gurus, who understand the mood of the spiritual master properly and can guide the students in a way that they will make steady progress without being discouraged. So does that fully answer your question? Vishnu Priya Manasi.
So a person, a devotee who is living in the ashram, how far we can stretch if he doesn't wake up? What would be the rules for him waking up for Mangalarti?
The standard rule is that every devotee should rise from Mangalarti. But if someone has some chronic sickness, the spiritual master may give him a special permission. If one is not chronically ill, they must rise from Mangalarti. Of course, it may be, you know, if they had some job as... I've always been very attached to Mangalarti. I know when I first became a grahastha, I was working a job. My work went from 11 at night till 8 in the morning.
Ir aš buvau labai prisišęs prie Mangalarti, kai tapau grihastra, mano darbas buvo nuo 11 vakaro iki 8 ryto.
So I was thinking, how am I going to Mangalarti now? I'm at work. This is horrible.
Kaip aš dalyvausiu Mangalarti, jeigu aš darbė visą
laiką? I was very disturbed. I've been going, I go to Mangalarti every day, and now in my job, I'll be at work during Mangalarti. Oh no, what am I going to do?
Visą laiką aš ėjau į Mangalarti, o dabar
Well, when I put it into the boss, he said, you know, because you're working the night shift, we'll let you take an extra long lunch break whenever you want.
Ir kai kreipiausi dėl to aš į savo bosą, jis pasakė, kad jeigu tu dirbi naktį, tai mes tau duosim vieną papildomą pietų valandą, galėsi daryti, ką nori.
I'm, wow, that's great.
Aš pagalvojau, čia tai...
I'll take my lunch break between 4:15 and 5:15 a.m.
Ir man leido pasirinkti, kada paimti tą pertrauką, ir aš pasirinkau nuo 4 iki 5.
My job is 15 minutes away from the temple. So I had enough time to drive to the to pick up Vishnupriya Manaji. Attend Mangalarti. And then after Mangalarti, I went back to work. I didn't eat anything, but, you know, that was okay. I had a lunchless lunch break.
I mean,
who wants to eat at 4:30 in the morning anyway? So one should be very eager, even if it's difficult, one should always be eager to attend Mangalarti. Unless there's some extenuating issue of chronic health problem, which is excusable, that's understood. If someone who is healthy is overly critical of someone who is not attending due to health reasons, that means they have no taste for going to Mangalarti themselves.
Jeigu kažkas yra sveikas, bet jisai per daug kritikuoja tos, kurie neina Mangalarti, reiškia, jisai neturi skonio Mangalarti.
That means their taste is lording it over others, not going to Mangalarti.
Reiškia, jų skonis yra tame, kad valdyti kitus, bet ne tame, kad eiti Mangalarti.
So that person who harshly criticized another person who was chronically ill and couldn't go, they probably aren't going to Mangalarti anymore anyway. Because their taste was lording it over, not attending Mangalarti. So is that person still attending Mangalarti? That critic of yours?
Many examples.
So the real thing is to be a compassionate Vaishnava, you see. All right, Hare Krishna Prabhu.
I can only confirm from experience that if someone starts to criticize others that they are doing something wrong, then for that same devotee, the same problems or something similar
comes.
That's
true. Whatever you meditate on, that comes to you.
That's a thing.
Like that brahmachari, you call it a dhoti whitener, you know. His dhoti got rightened real quick. Yeah.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that you surrender unto me and all your problems will be solved and you will be liberated from the moats. But if I do not feel sometimes that I am fully protected and liberated, does it mean that I lack some devotion, or what is the problem?
Devotion is a surrender is a gradual process. It's like they say, Rome wasn't built in a day. So to become a, you know, an uttama adhikari is not something you can just snap your finger and, okay, now I'm an uttama adhikari. You have to go step by step, gradually cleaning all the dirt out of your house. Just like if your house is full of dirt, can you just make go snap your fingers and the house is clean immediately? No, it takes time to clean your house. You got to take a broom and sweep, and then you got to get a rag and go down and wipe the floor, and then clean the windows. And it's to clean a house, a dirty house that's been sitting for millions of years, as our consciousness has been sitting. That takes a while. The secret is enjoy the process. Enjoy the process of healing, becoming spiritually healed. Don't think, well, I'm not an Uttama Adhikari in 10 minutes that I'm quitting. But embrace the process, you see. Embrace the struggle of purifying your consciousness. And see and observe how you're making progress. If you were to see Sankarshan Das Brahmachari from 1971 sitting beside me now, you wouldn't think it was the same person. You wouldn't think it's the same person. This process does work. I mean, I think back like I was, and I went, oh my God, how did my 30s even tolerate having me around, you know? You know, so the thing is, you just got to be patient, stick with the process. And the results are guaranteed. I would like to go on, but we have today we have a long drive. We're going to Kaliningrad. And we have to get ready to hit the road to Russia. But we are coming back on Monday. I'll be giving a lecture here on Monday night. And if you have any questions, kindly, you know, you can email me, or you can save the questions for Monday night. Anybody who doesn't have my email address, who wants to be able to write me, you can always pick up a card here when you come for the Bishadam. And those who are on the internet, who are our viewing audience, it's sda@backtohome.com. sda@backtohome.com. So, thank you very much. Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavatam, Granthiraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.